In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is one of the major feasts of the Lord, the entry of the Lord to Jerusalem. And this feast, as from outside it looks like we are celebrating it with the Jews, who also welcome the Lord Jesus coming to Jerusalem, but different, for different reasons. They were expecting a king who was going to save them from the reign of the Romans. And they celebrated him in anticipation that he will bring to them victory with another meaning. But for us, the Christians, we know the story. We know how it went and what is going to happen from this day on till the day of his true victory over death, the day of his resurrection. Today we are celebrating the person. We are celebrating his character, his way, the example of the Savior King. On this day and the days to come, the Lord is setting before us different meanings for things. We celebrate, first of all, his meekness, ruling with gentleness, not overpowering his subordinates. Before the Lord Jesus, no one ever would speak about meekness as a way to solve problems or to be able to lead. Everywhere around us, we hear in order for you to be successful, you have to be aggressive. You have to push your agenda and take things by hand. But the Lord is teaching us, and He is right and correct, that the meek will inherit the earth. We celebrate this kind of meekness, and we ask Him to give us this way also, in order for us to be able to lead others. We are entrusted over families, over people in our workplace, over churches. Do we still believe that meekness is the way to rule, and meekness will make us to be victorious like Him? He is the one, through His meekness, who taught us that before entering, have to ask for permission. Before coming to the life of anyone, I have to knock on the door, make sure that I am welcome. He never pushed Himself on us in any way. This is another thing that we celebrate in the example of our Savior King. We heard about Him that He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear His voice in the streets. It's totally opposite to what everyone believes in the world today, that in order for you to win, you have to take it by hand. It's through quarreling, fighting over what you think is your right. St. John Chrysostom, in praising the meekness that the Lord portrayed before us, says these powerful words: "Nothing is more powerful than meekness." Power and meekness in one sentence sounds something that's strange. "For as fire is extinguished by water, so a mind inflated by anger is subdued by meekness. By meekness we practice and make known our virtue, and also cause the indignation of our brother to cease and deliver his mind from perturbation." So first of all, we celebrate today this meekness of the Lord that He taught us, by which we win and we become victorious. We also celebrate His zeal. With His meekness, He did not shy away from coming to cleanse the house of God. His zeal did not make Him to be slacking or shy away from doing what is right. His house and its sanctity is something that He defended with firmness and with courage. And above all, we are His symbol. Every one of us is the symbol of the Lord. Can we have the same also? Have the same zeal over ourselves? Defend ourselves against all the filth that the world is trying to throw on us every day through what we hear and we see every day. We know this. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? We find in the Lord this kind of perfect example. He was meek and meanwhile zealous with firmness to defend the limits, to say this is right and this is wrong, with no kind of being like hesitant or trying to be politically correct in order to please others. We celebrate the character of the Lord who showed us meekness and zeal in the same time. We also celebrate the service that he offered to us. His service is something unique as well. We will hear this on Covenant Thursday. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. It's a new meaning of what his greatness is about. We always want to be great, to be praised, to be accepted by others. People think high of us, but we think we can pursue this in a different mean. The Lord is showing us, if you are the one who is the oldest, the greatest, if you are the one who is most regarded, then your place is at the feet of others. It's a totally different concept that the world was not used to it. He said this to us, it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Sometimes parents, fathers or mothers, they defend their rights by saying to their children that I am your father, I am your mother, you have to listen. We don't have to do this. It is just when we serve people, when we wash their feet, people will definitely respond and will become subject to us without having to pushing this on them. We celebrate also his life-giving sufferings. Sufferings has a new meaning because of the Lord Christ. Suffering in the Old Testament was a sign of God's wrath. God is upset, accordingly I am suffering. But this is not the case in the New Testament. His suffering gave us meaning of our own suffering as well. He came to Jerusalem on Sunday, like today, knowing that he will be offered as a lamb to the slaughter on Friday. People celebrating him as a king who will conquer, and he knew in himself, I am coming to die. It's an amazing thing how he accepted this kind of suffering willfully for the salvation of us. He showed in his sufferings the ultimate obedience. As we hear St. Paul speaking to the Philippians, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. We tend to think of ourselves that we are in general obedient people, and we are submissive to God's will. And the test for us is suffering. Am I willing to go that far, to obey up to suffering? I will do what is right, even if this is going to cause me a great deal of pain. Also, his suffering showed us what his love is about. The word that is mostly abused in our time today. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. This is what his love is about, what the Lord did. And today we celebrate him and celebrate the example of love that he showed to us. And we will celebrate him again in a few days on Great Friday. We also celebrate today his victory that is to come, trampling down death through death and leaving for us the way to our victory. We cannot be victorious over anything unless we accept to die. How different is this meaning? How different than anything else that we heard in our schools, on our workplaces? It is when we give up on something, then we can gain this. Anything we try to hold on, this is the thing that we will never be able to keep. If we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. His victory granted us hope. His resurrection is our hope in this life and the life to come. So what is the ultimate way of celebration? If we celebrate all of these meanings in the character and the person of the Savior, the ultimate celebration today is not just to come to the church and just wave a palm branch. And we just imitate the Jews who did the same for different reason. It is not just to tell a story about him and what he did. And he becomes just a character in a story like a hero from the past. It's actually when we embrace this kind of lifestyle, his choices become us. And we become proud of it. We are not feeling ashamed to say that I am Christian and I choose meekness and service and I choose suffering in order for me to imitate my Savior. St. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He abandoned himself entirely in order for the Savior King to continue his ministry through the person of St. Paul. In the prayer that we will hear on the evening of Great Friday, Thursday night, We will hear this long prayer that the Lord gave before going to Gethsemane. It's 4 chapters in the Gospel of St. John. And he concludes the prayer to the Father by saying, "And I in them." This is what he wants. And this is our desire as well. This is our only way for us to have a meaningful, a purposeful life. And also we have a life to come. I in them. This is the ultimate celebration. He lives in us. And we no longer fight for ourselves, for our own ways, our own understandings to prevail, but rather we give him a chance that through us he can preach to others, bring others to his knowledge, and make us to shine, not only in this life, but also in the life to come. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.